GOB 48, rose-coloured binoculars. I'm waiting for the perfect winter raptor day to dawn, bright blue, crisp and frosty, a clear day when I can see far across flat fields. Hard winters bring too much snow between my goal and me. Mild ones, which have predominated for a decade, seem to stretch wet autumn through soaking winter into damp spring. I don't drive in the snow, as my maritime quarter has had no more than a dusting or two in my 15 years here. Inland, it can get a foot deeper with every extra mile. The cold can be kept out with winter wear and a flask of coffee, but the Scotch mist's fine, penetrating rain seems to pass through every layer under the skin and into your soul. Icy winds may turn your nose blue, but perpetual drizzle turns you blue inside. The Raptor Haven raises a quandary. Winter visits there can produce common and rough-legged buzzard, hen and marsh harrier, peregrine, sparrowhawk, merlin and kestrel. The raptor owl can also include a near full set of owls. Little owls sit on a tumble-down cottage. Barn owls drift along the hedges. Short-eared owls hunt below me in a deep ditch, and long-eared owl roosts in a scrap of orchard. I dare say staying a while after dusk could add tawny to the tally. Once, a couple of years ago, I had another three raptors, seeing a wing-tagged red kite and two foreigners, a harris hawk, dangling jesses, and an unshackled mystery bird, perhaps an escaped sharp-shinged hawk, tearing apart a small duck. The North Kent marshes are one of my growing conservation successes. The North Kent marshes are one of our growing conservation successes, half from luck, a part from effort, and another chunk by serving entirely different interests. Centuries of flooding stopped house building until the profit-fueled madness of the 1990s. The recession, a dash of sense, and the withdrawal of insurance have stopped that rush. A few farmers kept a tradition either knowing nothing better or from noblesse oblige. The RSPB campaigns and common sense stopped airports and wholesale development. Latterly, the RSPB has begun to buy strategic bits of drained land to restore and so join up existing reserves with their vision of geographical scale conservation. Good luck and good judgment are combined to give hope for a uniquely important place. But here's the rub. Slap bang in the middle of all this conservation is an area with no protection, yet that is the Raptor Winter Palace. If you drive the stop-start route, glimpsing many other species along the way, you'll have to pull over every so often to let by a shiny 4x4, behind the wheel of which will be someone in a flat cap, green wellies, and with their checked shirt collar turned up outside of their green woolen suede waistcoat. And that is just the ladies on their way to pick up their banker spouses and broker buddies. When you sit atop the Raptor watch point, you will look over shores of uncut maize, piles of protective hay bales and sapling copses. If you didn't know how the land was used before, it will soon become obvious when you hear the discharge of a Purdy or Paratsy. Out of sight, I imagine a retriever clumping over the unploughed stubble to pick up a shattered corpse of a French partridge or the warm body of a purpose-bred pheasant. Shelter, feed, cover and copse are all there to help out the poults and turn them into shootable adults. Not feed corn buntings or keep up the short-tailed vole numbers for short-eared breakfasts. I'll read that bit again. Shelter, feed, cover and copse are all there to help poults turn into shootable adults, not feed corn buntings or keep up the short-tailed vole numbers for short-eared breakfasts. In the channel that makes this an island, many a winter morning echoes the sound of wildfowlers' guns taking the pintails of widgeon that grace the flood. So what do I do? Do I withdraw in disgust or gaze in awe through rose-tinted optics? I can't lie, because I've been seen there far too often. That's the end of that one.